All right, the message today is entitled The Supplying Shepherd. And we read earlier in Philippians chapter 4 for our responsive reading in verse 19, but my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. But here in Psalm 23, we come to verse 5 today. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. And as we look at verse 5 in Psalm 23, it is well for us to keep in mind that the sheep have gone through the valley of the shadow of death, and now during the summer months, they are on the high summer ranges. It's interesting to note that in the western part of the U.S., the sheep ranges, and also in southern Europe, those ranges where the sheep are, they are called mesas, and that is the Spanish word for table. So the word mesa is a commonly used word there. And also, when I went to Africa in Kenya, I found that the key Swahili word for table is also mesa. So this is where the sheep are now, on the mesas, the high summer ranges. So during the spring, the shepherd slowly led the sheep through the valleys and up to the high summer ranges. So that's what we are now. The hymn, Higher Ground, which was our closing hymn when we looked at verse 4, says in the chorus, Lord, lift me up and let me stand by faith on heaven's tableland. So again, that word mesa, tableland, comes there. A higher plane than I have found, Lord, plant my feet on higher ground. So it says, thou preparest a table before me. So we have a prepared table. Now, when David talked about a table, he was not really talking about what you have in your dining room or in your kitchen, but rather he was talking about the high grassy fields where the shepherd would take his sheep during the summer months. So that's where he took them, and that's where they would be able to eat. So now, these fields, of course, had to be prepared by the shepherd. So you might say they're just open fields, but still, the shepherd had work to do, because the shepherd would look for good grass, and he would also look for harmful weeds. You know, this doesn't look like very good grass right here in the middle. Looks like my garden, you know. And I think most of us, when we have a garden with grass, we'll find that there are quite a few of the weeds that are growing there. So the thing is about those weeds, as the shepherds would go up there, he would look around for the grass, because some of the weeds actually could be poisonous, and that you wouldn't want to eat poisonous grass. I mean, the sheep wouldn't want to eat poisonous grass, and the shepherd would be watching out for that. Also, as the shepherd would bring the sheep there up on the high tablelands, he would bring with him things that would be necessary for the sheep. So the grass, of course, would be there, but he would bring salt along, he would bring minerals along, whatever the sheep needed to up there on the high tablelands. And so he would bring things along, and he would look out the grass. See, the shepherd would worry about the weeds. Some of them he would actually have to remove before the sheep would be able to safely go up on those higher fields there. Now, bringing that down to our Christian life, as Christians, we tend to feel that we need to try the things that the world offers. You know, I'm thinking about that. When I went to high school, we had no drugs. My cousins, who are about 10 years younger than I am, they told me that during their days, there were beginning of drugs. And of course, today, there are drugs everywhere. You know, so it's something that we have to watch out for. And sometimes our young people, oh, we want to follow what the other young people are doing. You know, they want to do the same thing. And they might, as a result, do things that the world does, whether it be drugs, whether it be drinking alcohol, whether it be smoking cigarettes, you know, with all the bad things that you get, and even the so-called e-cigarettes cause lots of problems, and you're better off to stay away from them. These things can be most destructive. They can be poisonous to the Christian life. So these are the kind of things that we are to be aware of. So the shepherd who took out for what was good, and so our good shepherd is aware of that, and he looks out for us. But we at the same time need to be aware of these bad things that can happen. I'm thinking of Luke chapter 22, where the Lord Jesus Christ speaks to Peter. And he says, Simon, Simon, Simon being his Jewish name, Peter being the Greek name, Simon Peter. Behold, Satan has desired to have you, and Satan desires to have us, as we are well aware of you. And Satan desired to have you that he may sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for thee, that thy faith fail not, and when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren. And he said unto him, Lord, I'm ready to go with thee, both into prison and to death. But then Jesus said, Peter, I tell you, the cock shall not crow this day before that thou shalt thrice deny that thou knowest me. And as the passage goes on, you know, Jesus has been arrested, and Peter goes to Luke. Hey, aren't you one of his followers? Well, no, I'm not, you know. I'm sure you're one of his followers. Even your speech, you're like you're from Galilee. You must be. No, I'm not. I don't know him. You know, and then the third time. No, no, no. Definitely, I don't know him. And then the cock crowed and Peter realized what Jesus had said. You know, it's so easy to fall into these kind of things. But we need to watch out for what is there. And so this shepherd, as he would lead the sheep, he would look for good grass. He would look for harmful weeds. He would keep the sheep away from there, and if necessary, he would remove them and dispose of them. So that's the first thing there that he would do for the prepared table. But then the second thing that he would do is the shepherd would look for dangerous animals. He would look for evidence, for instance, of wolves, as you see a picture of a wolf here. And, you know, also bears would be there, would be other animals there. And he would be looking at the ground. He would look for tracks. Do I see the footprints of these animals? He might look for their droppings. And he would recognize, you know, what kind of droppings they were by the shape. And he would know, this was a wolf here, or this was a bear there. And so he would be looking out for the sheep, because if these animals would get into the flock, they could kill many of the sheep. And the shepherd would have to hunt them down or trap them, these wild animals, so that the sheep could safely graze in the meadows. And we know that David himself mentions how he had to fight and killed a bear that was there trying to take some of the sheep. So the shepherd, as he is there, he prepares the table for his sheep by looking out for the good grass, by removing the harmful weeds, looking out for the dangerous animals. And again, if we draw the parallel for us, the good shepherd, the Lord Jesus Christ, knows all the tricks of the devil, of the evil one, in 1 Peter chapter 5. You know, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, your enemy, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour, whom resist steadfast in the faith. And then in Ephesians chapter 6, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles, the tricks of the devil. And then remember, Satan is a real person. We sometimes tend to forget that, but Satan is a real person. And in 2 Corinthians 11 we read, and no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. So we might think he is all right, but he is not. He is a deceiver. So watch out there. That's why the shepherd looks out for dangerous animals. And the good shepherd, the Lord Jesus Christ, makes us aware of the devil and his tricks. In Matthew chapter 24, he says, therefore, if any mouth shall say unto you, lo, here is Christ, or there, believe it not, for there shall arise false Christ and false prophets, and shall show great signs and wonder, insomuch that if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect. So they shall try to deceive the believers. So we need to be aware of that. And we might ask the question, how does the good shepherd protect us? Well, look again at the sheep. How does he, the shepherd, protect the sheep? Well, the sheep would stay close to the shepherd. They knew that they would be safe. And so we need to walk close to the good shepherd, close to the Lord Jesus Christ. We should read his word daily. We should pray daily. And we should spend time with other believers, such as our worship service, such as our Bible study, prayer meeting, you know, ladies' fellowship. All these are activities from the church so that we can stay close to the Good Shepherd, the Lord Jesus Christ. So it's important to remember that. So the shepherd takes care of us. And then there is a third thing that the shepherd does as well. He looks for good grass. He looks out for harmful weeds. He looks out for dangerous animals. But he also looks for water for the sheep. Because not only did the sheep need to eat, they also need to drink. So he would look for good water. Now I realize that on the dew, sheep could often eat the grass with the dew on it. And as a result, they might not have to drink much, but ultimately, they would need some water. And as the shepherd now has led the sheep to the higher ground, to the pastures there, during the winter time, the watering holes may have accumulated twigs or leaves. Sometimes even stones would end up in there. Some watering holes might be overgrown with grass, with brush and with weeds, and there would be no good water there. Sometimes even small earthen dams might have to be repaired. So the shepherd would be busy preparing everything for the coming of the sheep. And again, the good shepherd has gone before the sheep. He knows exactly what they can expect. He endured every situation and every extremity that we might encounter. And that's something we have to realize about the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, he knows. In Hebrews, we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. So he endured the same temptations that we endured. But we often yield to temptation. The hymn writer says, yield not to temptation, for yielding is sin. It is no sin to be tempted, but there is sin in yielding to the temptation. So we see that we have a Savior. He has known our sufferings. He has experienced our sorrows. He has endured our struggles in this life. As we read earlier in Isaiah 53, he is a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. That's our Lord Jesus Christ. A man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And because of that, he understands us. He has had the same temptations that we have. So he can fully sympathize with us. The word sympathize means literally to feel with somebody. It's made up of two Greek words, sum, meaning with, and pathos, meaning feeling. Feeling with a person. But, you can say, well, I know just how you feel. But have you experienced what that person experienced? If we have, then we can really sympathize. But if not, there are experiences where I cannot really say, I know what you're feeling, because I have not experienced that. So it's a different feeling. So we need to be aware of that. But the Lord's care and compassion for us are beyond our ability to grasp. He has experienced what we have experienced. That's why he fully sympathizes with us. And he makes every possible provision to help us when we have to cope with Satan, with sin, and with self. As the Bible talks about these three together. He has endured the same things that we endure. He is with us at all times. And because he is that, he is able to help us. So, as we realize this then, our lives should be lives of calm and quiet confidence. Because we have a shepherd, a supplying shepherd, who supplies all our needs and who provides for us. The Christian life can thus become a mountaintop experience, a tableland trip, we might say, because we're under the care and control of the supplying shepherd, the good shepherd, the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, there may still be some harmful weeds and dangerous animals. They may still be around. Storms may still rage. But we are under the good shepherd's care. He has prepared a table for us in the presence of our enemies, Satan, sin, and self. And he cares for us. So we see again, thou preparest the table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. So after looking at a prepared table, we want to go next to an anointed head. And that seems kind of a strange thing, isn't it? Anointed head. Why would a shepherd anoint the head of the sheep with oil? That seems like a strange thing to us. But it is important to note. Philip Keller, in his book, A Shepherd Looks Up, Psalm 23, gives three reasons why a shepherd would anoint the head of the sheep with oil. So we'll look at those three. First of all, flies. All right? Now, here's a picture of a fly, particularly a sheep nose fly. Now, remember, we're now talking about summer. So it is summertime. The sheep are on the high summer ranges. But summertime is also fly time. The flies are there. Mosquitoes are there. And they can cause real trouble for the sheep. And the worst of that is that nose fly. Now, I've mentioned the nose fly before. That was when we talked in verse 2. He leadeth me to lie down in green pastures. And if you remember, I said, sheep will only lie down when certain things happen. The sheep must be free of fear, but they also must be free of flies. So at that point that we did talk about the nose fly. So here again, this happens. So what happens then, the nose fly buzzes around the sheep's head, and they try to lay their eggs inside the sheep's nose. Now, it doesn't sound like very pleasant to me, you know, and it was not very pleasant for the sheep either. So, but if they laid their eggs inside the nose of the sheep, the eggs would hatch and it would become like larvae, or sometimes referred to as a bot. And, you know, what would happen was, when the larvae would come out, they would work their way up the nasal passage and into the flesh of the sheep's head, causing infection. So this would cause great pain for the sheep. And the sheep would beat its head against trees and the rocks. And advanced stages might even cause blindness on the part of the sheep. So this is something very serious for the happening for the sheep. So when the sheep, and especially the older sheep that have been around for some time, you know, when they notice the nose flies, they will become frantic. They try to run away from the flies. And when the shepherd would become aware of it, you know, he would immediately take action. Problem is this, you know, the ewes, the female sheep, you know, they would no longer have the milk to give to the lambs. So the lambs would be affected. You know, the ewes would be affected. So the whole flock would be affected by these nose flies. So this is something that the shepherd would take care of. And so the shepherd, what he would do then, he would apply a mixture of linseed oil, sulfur, and tar to the sheep's nose and head. And on the picture here, you can see him pouring this on top of the head of the sheep. And as soon as that mixture was poured on the head of the sheep, they became quiet. And they would start feeding again, and they would lie down peaceably. So some of that I've written is a repetition of what I mentioned when we talked about verse 2. But some of you were not there, so it's good to repeat that here. So, but that is the first reason why a shepherd would anoint the head of the sheep with oil. But going then again to the application, the nose fly is small, but it causes major problems. And that's a picture of the many small irritations that happen in life. There's a lot of things that are small in the overall picture of things, but yet they can cause major problems for us. You know, you go shopping and you know an item is on sale and you want to buy it. And just as you get near the shelf, you see somebody grabbing, and that was the last one. And you missed out. It's a small thing, but it's oh so annoying, isn't it, when that happens? Or when the traffic light turns red, when you're in a hurry. You know, you see these little things happen. You know, you got to post an important letter, and you're rushing to try. It says 6 p.m. on the posting box. You know that they can come any time after 6, and you're hurrying, and just as you get there, you see the Australia Post truck driving away. You just missed, and now it won't go out till tomorrow. And you're in a hurry to get them. You know, all these little things. But they cause major problems to us. What we need is the oil of the Holy Spirit. The continuing anointing of God's gracious Spirit to help us when this kind of things happens. Now, the mixture of linseed oil, sulfur, and tar has to be applied several times throughout the summer. It's not that the shepherd could apply it once and that would take care of the whole summer. He would have to regularly repeat that. And so what we need then is a continual working of the Holy Spirit in our lives. You know, we're thinking, as we pray in Luke chapter 11 and verse 3, give us day by day our daily bread. It's a day by day type of a thing. Or later on in the same chapter, if ye then being evil know how to give good gifts unto your children, how is it much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him? So we see God working there. We see the Holy Spirit working there. And we need to pray, Lord, I can't cope with all these annoyances. Please apply the oil of thy Holy Spirit to my mind so that I may act and react as you would. Help me to be like Christ. We want to emphasize that Christ-likeness. May the fruit of the Spirit show in my life. You know, the fruit of the Spirit, read about in Galatians 5. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. And then it adds, against such there is no law. But we are to show this fruit of the Spirit in our lives. So this is the first thing that we see here, you know, where the shepherd takes care of the sheep because there are flies. But then the second thing we should notice is he applies the oil because of scab. Now, scab is a skin disease of sheep. And if you look here, you know, that is not the kind of skin of a good-looking, healthy sheep. I was almost hesitant to show this picture because it looks rather gruesome, you know. I don't want you to get sick by looking at that. But this is what happens with scab. So the sheep has had real problems there, you know. And by the way, this is seen all over the world. So you can talk to people looking after sheep. We had one Bible Presbyterian pastor in the U.S., who, for a hobby, had some sheep. And, you know, I used to visit him in his home occasionally. And we used to have meetings in his home. So we'd go there. And, how are your sheep? Oh, they're all right, you know. It's a lot of work. So, you know, he'd be telling us about some of the sheep. But the scab would be there. So you see there what's going on there. So the scab is actually caused by a microscopic parasite. So something very small that causes the problems. And this is often passed from sheep to sheep when they rub noses. Now, sheep like to rub noses. You know, we don't usually rub noses, but sheep do. And so from one sheep to another sheep, it might pass on the scab. So it's something there. So now in the Old Testament, by the way, a sacrificial lamb had to be without blemish. It had to be a perfect animal. So scab would be a blemish. So a sheep with scab could never be offered to the Lord. It would have to be a perfect specimen. You know, if you go back to Exodus chapter 12, you can read about some of these things. Pastor David talked about that last Sunday, Exodus chapter 12. But scab is significant of contamination, of sin, of evil. And the only effective antidote would be that mixture of linseed oil, sulfur, and other chemicals. And in Palestine, they would usually use olive oil because there was a lot of oil available there, a lot of olive trees. And they used sulfur and various spices. And that would be working for both scab and flies. So what they used for the flies earlier, that could also be used for scab. And sometimes if it got really bad, they actually had dipping tanks where they would actually have to dip the sheep, of course, keep its nose out of the, you don't want to drown the sheep in the dipping tank. So, they have to keep the nose out. But the sheep would go all the way under, and then shepherd would apply it to the rest of the body. But looking again at it for our application, in the Christian life, most of our contamination by the world and by sin that would defile us comes through our minds. And that's something, again, we need to be aware of. When we regularly meet with persons, for instance, who are not believers, we may pick up ideas that are not biblical. So in other words, what I'm saying is we've got to be very careful who our associates and who our friends are. Our thoughts, our ideas, choices, and desires are affected by other people. So that would include the mass media, such as television, the various magazines. You may not be able to see it, but that's a picture of a lot of different magazines there. You have the internet, and that is the last one there, the picture on the right, fellow students and teachers. They can affect you. Students will affect each other. I'm not sure, but I've been reading recently in various news items about students who commit suicide because of bullying by other students. And they can't take it anymore. Sometimes they're 12, 13, 14 years old. These are kids, but they commit suicide because they're influenced by classmates. So this is something that's very dangerous. So we need to be very much aware of that. So students and teachers can affect, the students, fellow students. I can remember when I was a boy, I used to walk to school close enough that I could walk. My legs were a lot shorter, so it took a long time to walk to school, probably about half an hour. Now I'd probably walk that in 15 minutes, except the school that I went to back in those days has been demolished, and there's a shopping center now on the place where my old school used to be. This is when I was in first year in school, primary one. So this goes back a long time. But when I got to primary two, my teacher used to come by train. And we knew approximately what train he would be on. And often we would meet him because I lived near the train station. And I would walk together with my teacher to go to school. I still remember his name. And this goes back to primary two when I was 7 years old. So that's 70 years ago. But I still remember his name, and I still remember him, and he made a great impression on me. Now, thank God, I went to a Christian school, and I would encourage parents, if at all possible, send your children to a Christian school, because that avoids a lot of problems. Not saying that every Christian school is perfect, but my parents were concerned enough to send me to a Christian school. They had to pay school fees, But primary school, even secondary, I went to a private Christian school. So, but something for parents, for you to consider, to send your children. I think most of the parents that I see here, most of you are sending your children to a Christian school. And thank God for that. But it's so important because, we're so influenced by the world, by other people, So it's important to see that. So one cannot be exposed to such contacts without coming away contaminated. So that's why we need that. You see that with the sheep. They're contaminated. Scab is there. And they're affected. Small little parasites cause the problems, but it becomes such a big problem. So think of Philippians 4 and verse 8. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things. Things on the things that are good. So, watch your fellowship. Watch your associates. Watch what you watch on the idiot box, as some people call it. The telly, as other people call it. You know, the only way we can actually, of course, do all this is through the Holy Spirit. So we need the working of the Holy Spirit again in our lives. And so we have seen two of the three reasons why a shepherd would anoint the head of the sheep with oil. Flies, scabs. But the third reason is fights. Fights. All right? Now, looking at the sheep again, here you see two rams butting heads. You know, as summer becomes autumn, the weather gets colder. We can already begin to see, you know, we're no longer having 40-degree weather. You know, it's now down in the 20s. Today I'm even wearing a long-sleeve shirt. I've been wearing short-sleeve shirts because, you know, tomorrow will be a short-sleeve shirt again. But today, you know, long-sleeve shirt because it's getting cooler. You know, we can tell that. We see it. The leaves change color. You know, the green becomes red, becomes brown, becomes yellow. You know, beautiful colors. Go up to the Adelaide Botanical Gardens, you know, and you can really see that. Not yet. You know, it's got to be a little bit colder than that. But you see that. So, you know, you see all these changes happen. But what also, as far as the sheep is concerned, when it becomes autumn, that is the mating season, actually, for the sheep. So, and the rams will fight over the ewes. The rams, the male sheep, will fight over the ewes, the female sheep. So they will fight. And the rams will run at each other, and their heads will knock against each other. And sometimes, as a result, the rams will get hurt. So the shepherd, of course, knows this. And he has a solution. He applies oil to the head of the rams. And as they then knock against each other, it's all slippery. And so they kind of glance off and they don't get hurt. They may still try to butt heads, but it is not really a major problem anymore. So because when they collide, the lubricant would make them glance off each other and little damage would be done. Now again, how do we apply that? Now, Christians, we may not have physical fights, but there may sometimes be head-butting. There may be differences of opinion as we see that. So some people actually will not go to church because in their experience, someone in another church had treated them badly. And so, no, I don't want to go to church. They're all hypocrites. They're all bad. You know, they're always complaining about them, and they will not go to church. And I know several people that have been very badly hurt in churches, you know. And some, I know one person in the U.S. who says, I will not go to church, because every time I go to church, I've tried 8 or 9 different churches, and every one of those churches, you know, I'm so kind to them, but they're always not nice to me. So I'm not going to go to church anymore. So I'll just worship God by myself. You know. Which, by the way, is wrong. Because the Bible says we should worship together with other believers. But, you know, there's a problem there. So people have bad experiences. But what we need in those circumstances is the present ointment of the presence of the Holy Spirit in our lives. And oil is a symbol of the Holy Spirit. So we see that happening there. So before his crucifixion, The Lord Jesus Christ told his disciples of the coming of the Comforter, of the coming of the Holy Spirit in John 14. If you love me, keep my commandments, and I will pray to Father, and he shall give you another Comforter, that he may abide with you. In other words, Jesus is a Comforter, but there's another Comforter too, the Holy Spirit. He says, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him. But ye know him, for he dwelleth with you, and shall be in you. And every believer has the Holy Spirit dwelling within, and he will abide with you forever. And then in John 16, nevertheless I tell you the truth, it is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter, the Holy Spirit, will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. So it says the Father sent the Spirit. It also says that Jesus sent the Spirit. So the Holy Spirit comes there. So when he is in our lives, when we're born again, when we show the fruit of the Spirit in our lives, then those attributes of peace, joy, long-suffering, generosity, you know, all these things become apparent. They become evident in our lives. So, as Hebrews 13 says, let your conversation, your conduct, your manner of life, behavior, be without covetousness, and be content with such things as you have. For he has said, I will never leave thee, nor forsake thee. That's the Lord Jesus Christ. He will not leave us, he will not forsake us, but also we will have the Holy Spirit with us at all times. So the summer season is over. Autumn is here. And soon the sheep will return from the high tablelands to go down. They'll again have to go through the valley of the shadow of death, but they will go home for the winter season. No other season finds the sheep so fit and well and strong, because they have been where the good food is, the good grass, the green grass. The shepherd has looked out for them. He has protected them. He has taken good care of them. He has supplied all their needs. Philippians 4:19, but my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Is it any wonder then that David says, my cup runneth over. The cup of blessings runs over. You know, the shepherd has provided well for the needs of the sheep. And the good shepherd, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, has provided well for our needs, for your needs, for my needs. And we have the Holy Spirit, the Comforter, the Paraclete, as he is also called, with us day by day. And no matter what may happen to us, we can face the storms of life. Our cup of blessing overflows. And therefore, with confidence, we can say, surely, goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. That, of course, is the last verse of Psalm 23. So I'm not going to say anything more about that. Lord willing, we will look at that in more detail next month. So we'll look at that the second Sunday in March, God willing. But at least for today, we have seen our supplying shepherd supplying all our needs. Thank him for that. Our cup truly runneth over. Let us pray. Loving Heavenly Father, we thank you that you are the supplying shepherd. You have prepared a table for us. You provide all our needs. You anoint our head with oil. Our cup runneth over. We thank you, Father, for your provision of all our needs. We thank you. In Jesus' name. Amen.